My son had died of suicide about 6 years before, and he was 34. And our daughter, Alice, had died about 2 years before. And it seemed very important to me that we have a community event where people could gather together and remember those who had been lost to suicide, and also to support those survivors, the people who had suffered because of losing loved ones and friends and other people in their lives. And the other thing was that I thought it was really important to have a public event where anyone is welcome to come to counteract the stigma that so often surrounds suicide.
I mean, I know you've spoken on KGNU before, Susan, about your own experience, and but I cannot imagine not just one child, but two children to this. I mean, what was that like? I mean, it's a stupid question. What was that like for you?
You cannot imagine, you know, the grief that comes with, you know, both of my children died of suicide. And, you know, it's very hard. Some people don't want to talk about suicide. They don't want to acknowledge that my children are no longer living. And, you know, that's very difficult. But I find the grief changes shape. It never ends. But I really do believe in the resilience of the human spirit. And out of loss often can come hope and strength. And I now do a lot of advocacy on behalf of suicide prevention. I've helped pass 3 different laws at the legislature. So for me, you know, I find that, you know, I must go on. I live my life. I do now find joy in many things, but I also have a sadness for many of the things that will not be in my life, the weddings of my children. I will not have grandchildren.
So, Susan, now that you are working in advocacy and various different things, and you know so much, and we're going to talk about some of the statistics and the research, mm-hmm. particularly around suicide and how it impacts young people, have you been able to not shed light or maybe come to an understanding about what happened with both your children from what you know now?
My son had a bipolar condition, and I knew that. He knew that he was being treated. But people with a bipolar condition are at a very high risk of suicide. And about 90% of the people who die of suicide do have some sort of a mental health problem. And most often it's undiagnosed and untreated.
Was your son being treated? Had he been diagnosed?
Yes. And he had made a very serious suicide attempt before. And anybody who has made an attempt is at a much higher risk for completing suicide. And Alice was very, very close to her brother. And people who have lost family members to suicide are at an extremely high rate. And I knew that by that time. And Alice became depressed, and I tried very hard in many different ways to get her into treatment, to get some sort of help. And it was very hard. She was 25 at the time. She was an adult. And as a parent, I had no power at all except for that of love and persuasion. And I was not able to get her treatment.
Well, as we said, unfortunately, this is something that is very prevalent. There seems to be more and more alarming statistics coming out mm-hmm. with every study that is done. And Colorado was very
high. We have the seventh highest rate. And last year, the numbers of suicide were up again to 1,093 in the state. In 2014, there were 57 deaths in Boulder County. That's a lot.
And is that across ages, across all communities, mm-hmm. across mm-hmm. all gender, demographics, everything?
Mm-hmm. Many more men commit suicide than women. For the state, 846 out of that over almost 1,100 deaths were men. But women are more likely to make an attempt. And some of that has to do with how people die. Men are more likely to use guns, and guns are very deadly. You're not likely to survive.
Well, Lena Heilman, what is your connection to this?
Well, I lost my sister to suicide in 2012, and it's been a long process to really kind of find out what the grief has done to change me and what pathway I want to take in my life going forward. My sister was my only sibling and younger, and we were incredibly close, and losing her meant that everything about my life up until that point had changed. And so I've decided to go into more of an advocacy position and see if I can help reduce stigma and use my story to help encourage others to get help and to be there for other lost survivors. So I've started becoming a member of the Hope Coalition, and I've been very impressed by the work they do and the care they put into everything. And this will be my first time attending the Hope Lights the Night event. And my sister's birthday is actually November 7th. She'd be turning 28 this year. So the timeliness of the event is also very important. She died then 2 weeks after she turned 24 that year. So the event is right in the middle of what's a very challenging time of year for me. And being in a room with people who understand what that means is really one of those experiences that keeps me going.
I mean, as Susan said, of course, with something like this, the grief just never goes away.
Right.
Do you find, I don't want to say relief, but do you find some type of positivity in being able to work with these advocacy groups and being able to maybe share your own story and that of your sister in a way that might help other people?
Absolutely. I really think so much of the last 4 years now have been about community and what community means. And I found communities of lost survivors online, particularly people who've lost siblings. I feel like it's a special type of loss that a lot of people don't understand. And to be around other people who know that loss intimately, who wake up with that loss and go to bed with that loss and have asked themselves the same questions, and then using that grief to try to prevent this from happening to other people, to me that gives me some sense of strength and hope and a type of optimism, even in my own grief.
What was your sister's name?
Danielle.
And so hearing your story and Susan's, and you know, many people who have come on KGNU and very bravely shared their stories, it just underscores the ripple effect of a suicide, that it goes far beyond, you know, that person whose life has been lost. And do you think that people in society just need to understand that a little bit more? That obviously you're right there as a family member, and particularly as a sibling, but really the ripple effect of a suicide just goes far and wide out into society. And when we're seeing so many suicides, I mean, really everyone is impacted in some way.
Yeah, my sister was, she had just turned 24, and she was working at CU Boulder, and she was also a student taking some courses at CU Boulder. She wanted to do her master's degree. And even now, 4 years later, people reach out to me to tell me stories about her. And that's one of my favorite things, is hearing their memories of her. And the impact she had on her friend circle, on the family, on the neighborhood we grew up in this area, on different communities that she was a part of, her workplace. All these people were impacted by her death, and they all carry memories of her. And so even just her one person, her death, affected so many people. And then when I think about how large that number is and how far that extends, it can really stun me sometimes.
We used to think that a suicide affected, you know, 6 or 7 people. Now we know that research has shown that about 25 people are sort of directly impacted, and then a larger group of about 125 feel that impact of that ripple effect.
Well, this event is happening Wednesday, November 9th. It starts at 7 p.m. It's at the Community United Church of Christ on Table Mesa Drive in Boulder. There's going to be music. There's going to be choir. I mean, what is going to happen that evening? And this will be, Lena, your first time attending this event. And so for people maybe who have been impacted, maybe it's their first time attending, what can they expect, Susan?
Well, we have the Resonance Choir from the community that sings, and they provide very beautiful music. Also, the cantor from Har Hashem will be singing. There are responsive readings, a short message by Rabbi Nadia Gross about how suicide affects us all, and then a symbolic lighting of candles, which is really perhaps the most meaningful part of the whole program.